Ladies and gentlemen, good day and welcome to the RSWM Limited Q4 and FY26 earnings conference call hosted by Rick Capital. As a reminder, all participant lines will be in the listen-only mode and there will be an opportunity for you to ask questions after the presentation concludes. Should you need assistance during the conference call, please signal an operator by pressing star then zero on a touchtone phone. Please note that this conference is being recorded. I now hand the conference over to Ms. Richa Singh for management introduction. Thank you and over to you, ma'am.
Thank you, Yusuf. Good evening and welcome everyone to the RSWM Limited Q4 and FY26 earnings conference call. Today from the management, we have Mr. Rajiv Gupta, Joint Managing Director, Mr. Manoj Bansal, Chief Transformation and Chief Risk Officer, Mr. Nitin Tulyani, President and CFO, Mr. Surendra Gupta, Chief Compliance Officer and Company Secretary. Before we proceed with this call today, I would like to take this opportunity to remind everyone about the disclaimer related to this conference call. Today's discussion may be forward-looking in nature, based on current beliefs and expectation of management. It must be viewed in conjunction with the risk that business faces that could cause or differ from future results and performance, which is expressed or implied by such forward-looking statements. I now hand over conference to Mr. Rajiv Gupta for industry outlook, followed by Mr. Nitin Tulyani to take over for the financial overview. Thank you and over to you, sir.
Thank you, Richa. Good evening, everyone. I hope you and your families are doing well. It is my pleasure to welcome you to RSWM Q4 and FY26 earnings conference call, and we sincerely appreciate your continued interest and participation. The financial results of RSWM, press release and investors' presentations have been shared with the stock exchanges, and we trust you had an opportunity to review these. Let me start by briefly setting the context for global and Indian economy. As you all know, the past year, the year FY26, has been a period of strategic transformation and disciplined execution for RSWM. While the global textile landscape remains complex due to continuous challenges on account of geopolitical factors, I am pleased to share that we have navigated these headwinds with the resilience and could turn around company performance, which is evident from the results shared yesterday for FY25-26. Our focus has been on improving the quality of earnings rather than chasing only volumes at a cost. And the approach is now beginning to reflect in our margins and overall profitability. Looking at the global environment, textile industry is currently going through a soft patch with demand normalizing rather than sharply recovering. Discretionary spending, especially in the Western countries, continues to be cautious, which is impacting overall demand. At the same time, we remain mindful of the challenges facing the industry, including government regulations. For example, road tap was taken off for part of the years. Import duty on cotton was there for most part of this quarter. U.S. tariffs is a concern which all of us know. The recent impact of Gulf War is also very significant. We have headed to global uncertainties, these things have also disrupted the trade flows. The impact has been visible in terms of volatility in the key raw material cost and also significantly increasing the other cost components like dyes and chemical cost, freight cost, impacting overall cost structure of the all textile products. Another key concern has been energy availability, especially gas. Gas availability due to restrictions of the route because of this Gulf War, along with the supply disruptions on the hubs like Surat, has affected the part of industry value chain. RSWM is also impacted because of this disruption of gas. Especially our denim division has suffered production for some days during the month of March. Despite these near-term challenges, there are encouraging structural positive things. Now, progress on UK, EU and New Zealand FTAs is expected to be open soon, and this will bring new opportunities for the entire textile sector. At the same time, we are increasing our focus on new geographies, adding new markets to offer all products to diversify our revenues and reduce dependence on few markets. Internally, we continue to drive value addition by improved internal processes and review mechanism with a strong focus on execution, discipline and operational efficiencies. Our strategic direction remains clear with more focus on value-added products, enabling us to enhance margins over the higher up value chain. Our productive shift towards renewable energy, which we shared in the last conference call, having a tie-up with Adani round-the-clock power, we are now having around 70% of our energy mix coming from sustainable sources like wind and solar, and this continues to be a key differentiator, helping us to mitigate the volatility and strengthen our long-term competitiveness. While these external challenges persist, our strategic focus remains unchanged, strengthening our product mix, driving the value-added growth, improving operational efficiencies, and maintaining strict control on our cost. As we step into FY27, we do so with a cautious but confident outlook. We are prepared for a gradual cooling in the global markets by maintaining downside readiness and also upside opportunities that we are likely to have. Our approach is capital allocation would remain disciplined with a strong focus on capital expenditure projects that offer shorter payback periods of 1 to 3 years, particularly in the area of modernization and productivity improvement, which help us in management of cost and also creating more competitiveness to us. Also, as you are aware, our board of directors in April approved a proposal for infusion of equity through the preferential issue of 24.7 lakh convertible grants, which are equivalent to almost 36 crores to LNJ Textile Advisory LLP, which is a promoter company of LNJ Bhidwara Group. This shows the confidence of promoters in the company's performance. Again, a positive signal for all our investors. As I mentioned earlier, FY26 has been a turnaround year for RSW, where we could move from negative EBITDA, from a negative PAT to a positive PAT. So this significant improvement, we are sure we will be able to carry this forward, and this will further strengthen our financial position for FY26-27. Through our financial prudence, strong operational controls, and growth-oriented initiatives. I would like to thank all the members of RSWM family for dedicated efforts during this full year, FY25-26, Board of Directors for the timely advice, confidence of our valued shareholders, and support of our chairman, which enable us to turn around this company in this year. With visible margin improvements across quarterly and full year periods, we believe RSWM is well positioned to deliver profitable and sustainable growth in the coming quarters as well. With this, I would now like to hand over this call to our CFO, Mr. Nitin Tulayani, to take you through the financial performance for more details. Over to you, Nitin.
Thank you, sir. Good evening, everyone, and thank you for joining us on the Q4 and FY26 earnings call. I'll take you through the key financial highlights and the operational metrics for the quarter and full year period ended March 2026. The business environment during the quarter reflected a gradual stabilization across the textile value chain following a period of demand volatility. While recovery in the global market remains measured, we are seeing early signs of improvement driven by the normalization of the inventory level and relatively better visibility in the select sector. From an industry perspective, there is a clear shift toward the value-added and the differentiated product category. Coming to the financial performance for Q4 FY26, revenue from operations stood at 1142 crore, registering a quarter-over-quarter growth of 4.5%, while declining 9.1% year-over-year, primarily due to weaker export demand. Our exports showed a recovery of 11.4% quarter-over-quarter at 368 crores, indicating early signs of improvement. Our domestic sales remain relatively stable at 774 crores, reflecting resilience in the domestic market despite overall demand softness. Power and fuel costs stood at 123.3 crore in Q4, reflecting a sequential decline of 4.6 crore from 127.9 crore in Q3 FY26, driven by the improved utilization for the renewable sources of energy. On a year-on-year basis, costs were marginally lower by 1.5 crore compared to 124.7 crore in Q4 FY25. Indicating a stable input cost management despite the external volatility. EBITDA stood at 85 crore, up 4.3% quarter-over-quarter and 8.5% year-over-year, with margin being stable at 7.4% quarter-over-quarter and improving by 115 basis points year-over-year, supported by operating leverage and cost efficiency. Now, coming to the full year 26 financial performance, our revenue from operations stood at 455 crore, reflecting a year-on-year decline of 5.6%, primarily impacted by the weak demand conditions, particularly in the first half. Domestic revenue declined 4.5%, while exports were down 8% year-over-year. Despite of all these odds with respect to the declining revenue, we have been able to sustain our margins. Our gross profit improved to 1753 crore. Up by 1.4% year-over-year, with the margin expanding to 38.1%, an increase of 246 basis points, primarily supported by better raw material cost management and improved spreads in the second half. The cost of raw material declined 9.5% year-over-year to 2801 crore. Our employee cost marginally increased by 1.8% year-over-year, while power and fuel cost reduced by 3.4% year-over-year, reflecting effective cost control. For the full year, there has been a reduction of 17.6 crore in the overall power and fuel expenses. The consistent reduction underscores the company's focused initiative on energy optimization, operational efficiency, and cost realization, contributing positively to the overall margin performance. Our other income increased significantly to 51 crore in FY26 from 29 crore in FY25, registering a strong growth of 22 crore, a year-over-year growth of 74.5%, primarily driven from the gain from the sale of the non-value assets. The full-year finance cost for FY26 was 123 crore, down from 135 crore in FY25, a steep decrease of 12.5 crore, or we can say 9.2% compared to the last year. Following the enactment of the Income Tax Act 2025, which got implemented from 1st April 2026, which provides us an option to move to a conceptual corporate tax overall at a rate of 25.17%, including surcharge and sales carry forward of MAT credit, we have reassessed our deferred tax liability at 25.17%, as of March 31st compared to 35% earlier. The company has decided to opt for this new tax regime from FY27, resulting in the overall reduction in the deferred tax liability by 22.66 crores. Other expenses declined 8.3% year-over-year to 441 crores, highlighting the continued focus on operational efficiency. The EBITDA stood at 327 crores, from 233 crore, registering a strong growth of 40.5% year-over-year, with margins improving to 7.1% from 4.8%, an expansion of 231 basis points. Our PAT stood at 52 crore compared to the loss of 41 crore last year, with margin improving to 1.1% from being negative 0.9%, which clearly reflects a strong turnaround in profitability. From the balance sheet perspective, our net worth increased to 1372 crore in FY26 from 1308 crore in FY25. Total borrowing reduced to 1510 crore from 1621 crore last year, reflecting continued deleveraging and a stable capital structure. The capital deployed remained steady at 3468 crores. On the asset side, we saw improved working capital efficiency with inventory reducing to 620 crores from 730 crores and trade receivable declining to 631 crores from 696 crores. Our financial assets have increased to 387 crores from 299 crores, primarily on account of the investment the company has done in Adani Power and strengthening overall liquidity, indicating ongoing investments in the growth initiative. Overall, these movements reflect disciplined capital allocation, improved working capital management, and a stronger balance sheet position. Now, with a stronger balance sheet, improved cash flows, and continued investment in modernization of our plants, we believe the company is well positioned to deliver steady revenue growth and margin expansion in FY27. Thank you. We will now be happy to take your questions.
Thank you very much, sir. We will now begin the question and answer session. Anyone who wishes to ask a question may press star and one on the touchtone telephone. If you wish to withdraw yourself from the question queue, you may press star and two. Participants are requested to use handset while asking a question. Ladies and gentlemen, we'll wait for a moment while the question queue assembles. Participants, to ask a question, you may press star and one. First question is from the line of Saket Kapoor from Kapoor & Co. Please go ahead.
Yeah. Namaskar, sir. Hope I'm audible.
Yes, sir. Yeah, yes, Saket, you are.
Yes, yes, yes. Thank you, sir, firstly, for the opportunity. And, sir, as you mentioned that we have laid the foundation for improving our return ratios going ahead. So in context to that, sir, if you could just give us some color of what will bring that rate of change in terms of improved profitability, in terms of how the utilization levels are currently, and what are we anticipating going ahead, firstly?
So, if I could gather you right, you are talking about the utilizations of the plant operations.
Yes, sir, plant operations, and how are what exactly are we expecting when we are alluding to the fact that our profitability will be improving on our profitability going ahead?
Okay, so the year under discussion, particularly the quarter four, has been really, really challenging for entire textile industry. Needless to mention, this U.S. tariff was already creating a lot of issues, and then this disturbance in Gulf between Iran and Israel put many things for challenge, particularly availability of gas, and then transportation period for export, freight cost for export to these countries, dyes and chemical costs. So all these things have actually impacted majorly in the quarter under discussion. Now, when we say that we are better hopeful, or we expect things to be better off in the coming quarter, one is that we expect the things to be normalizing and normalcy to prevail in this period. But at the same time, we also are looking at for better utilization of assets, particularly denim and knit. These are the two businesses which were impacted largely because of this, geopolitical situation. Our other businesses, synthetic yarn and sustainable textile business, which is recycled plaster, are more domestic businesses, and the challenges were comparatively less. Denim and knit are the most affected, and then melange particularly was impacted because most of the sales are deemed export. We supply to the garmenters who are exporting in turn. That was also disturbed. So we expect utilization in these three businesses to be slightly better, and the cost also to be controlled in current quarter and the quarters now onward. So this probably will help us in getting the better margins. Otherwise, focus on internal efficiencies, internal operational controls will continue to be the same, and we are likely to get benefit of whatever steps we took in last four quarters for same.
Sir, in terms of utilization of the assets, if you could just give category wise, how what have been the utilization in percentage terms?
So if you look at in synthetic and fiber business, we are more or less utilizing this optimally. In Milanjian, the utilization are to the tune of 65% to 70%, which we expect to go back to 85% to 90% level in maybe within this quarter or early next quarter. Denim utilization has been comparatively better. We currently are able to utilize 80% plus, and we can improve it further to 85% to 90% to optimize our operations. Knit operations were affected more. We were having the utilization below 80%, which can go to plus 85% level. So I think in all three businesses, there is a potential to improve utilization between 7 to 10% in the coming quarters against the utilization level in quarter four.
Okay, and so the disturbances which we face, particularly with the availability of gas, that things have been corrected, and post-March exit, are things back to normal, or the cost and all have gone up, the cost of gas procurement of gas?
So, Gabe, you are updated on these issues, probably. Though the availability is better, we had the disturbance in mid of March for 2-3 days. And then, on and off disturbance because of availability throughout the March. But now in April, availability of gas is there, but the cost has significantly, gone for upward revision. So that is a challenge, and we expect this to resolve maybe towards the end of this, but that is only a hope. Till the time things normalize in Gulf, so this cost may still continue to be an issue with us. But availability for sure is okay now.
So can you give some more color on the spread part then? How, although there have been a cost increase, so that should have been passed on to your customers. And how have the currently the spreads in our yarn business?
So spreads in business to business are different, and they are maintained in few businesses. It is improving, but the business under discussion is denim, where this gas increased prices has impacted. And as you know, you have already booked orders in hand. Passing on the cost or trying to increase the prices happen for the future order. So there is a lag between cost increase and the price increase. To that extent, you always suffer, and sometimes it is not possible to increase all cost to the final product. Now, particularly if I talk about denim, there have been 4 or 5 fronts where cost has increased. One is gas, second is dyes and chemical, third is freight, and fourth and biggest is yarn prices. So though as a company we have advantage if the yarn prices go increase for our yarn business, but for the denim business, the increase in the yarn prices both in cotton or in polyester cotton have impacted increase in the price of denim per meter, but passing on it to the customer always take time and there is a lag. So to that extent, our margins and the spreads are impacted in denim. To some extent, this also impacted our knitting business. But for other business, normally the raw material stockage and the sales are more or less of the similar days, and the spread is kind of maintained. But passing on the increase in cost to the customer normally takes some time.
Right, last 2 points. Sir,
sorry to interrupt, Mr. Kapoor. May we please request you to reach out?
Yeah, yeah.
Thank you, sir. Before we move to the next question, a reminder to the participants to ask a question. You may press star and one. Next question is from the line of Rioben from Equity Intelligence. Please go ahead.
Yeah, hi. Good evening. First, congrats, Mr. Chinnanwala and Rajiv. And the entire RSWM team on delivering a very good set of numbers, even though it was a very challenging period. So I just wanted to say
thank
kudos
you
to you all. So my first question, I just want to know, see, in your spinning division, right, what percentage is currently, you know, structurally not viable at the current yarn and cotton spread? You know, and what are the plans for those divisions? Are you looking at shutting it down, or are you looking to continue to operate it, but maybe at lower levels? Can you help me understand that?
So I appreciate you continue discussions from the last investors call we had. Yes. So last time we discussed that we'll cut down certain operations, spindles, or the products where we are not able to have the right margins. So we did that, as we discussed in the last conference call also. Operations of Chhata spinning were curtailed, which was having inefficient production, and we were not able to clock the required margins there. Few other products within the businesses were changed for the better products where the margins were there. Lot of work has been done on product mix and elevating the product from low contributing to better contributing products. So at the same time, we are not envisaging any close of spindles or loom or you know, other operations in this quarter and next quarter for want of those challenges. Probably that journey is largely done, and we will keep on evaluating as and when it is required.
Okay. So, see, at the current, yeah, you know, the spread, I mean, your margins are at, EBITDA margins are around 7.6%. So it has been steadily increasing. But, you know, where do you see this, the spread going to be? Do you, in order for RSWM to hit a, like a double-digit EBITDA, you know, is it dependent on maybe demand, or is it going to be an internal change, or is it a customer mix? What would bring or make, what changes would be required to hit that double digit EBITDA margin?
So first of all, as you want it to reach double digit, more than that, I want it to see in double digit at the earliest. So that is, you know, we are aligned fully there. Now, how this will happen, it cannot be because of one particular thing. It has to be a combination of many things. All internal operations have to be, you know, at the right level of performance. We have to closely participate with the customer in terms of product development, creating value for them, and partner with them in their product development. And also we have to be efficient in our supply chain in terms of sourcing our raw materials and ensuring that we sweat our assets right, utilize them right, and, you know, work on the inefficiencies continuously. So the directions which we have started in FY26, we like to continue in the coming quarters as well. And as the markets start looking slightly better, we, you know, more than you are looking forward to see double-digit EBITDA at the earliest.
Okay. And one last question before I head back into the queue. So I'm also following your turnaround series. I think that's also very nice. I follow it every week that you put out.
And thank you so much.
It's really good. So, see, the thing is, when we compare your working capital to your peers, it still seems to be slightly higher. And you were talking about cash flows last time. So is there a targeted working capital to sales ratio you're looking at? Is that something you have in mind?
So I agree with you, but when you compare, you know, with the yarn people, maybe our working capital ratios are slightly higher. But please be aware that we are a combination of five businesses. Our working capital in cotton yarn, Milan yarn, then synthetic yarn is more or less in line with the peers in the same industry. And now denim has a different set of working capital, where, you know, outstanding has a different, you know, this thing. But we are continuously working in this area. And Nitin, want to add something in this? Let me hand over to him.
So just adding to what Rajivji said, if you come to the working capital, which is visible in the balance sheet, it consists of two portions. One is in the form of the structured term loan, which we have taken in the recent past for the expansion of our denim business, knit business, as well as the kapas unit which exists in Banswara. So as the balance sheet date, we have roughly 700 crores of term loan which forms a part of the total borrowings. But if you talk about the working capital, it's close to around 800 crores, which is structured across all the different businesses which we have. So I hope this answers to your curiosity of the working capital.
Okay. Yeah. Sure. Okay. And I have a few
the
more
loans
questions.
Which are there, we,
yeah,
and the loans which are there, we are repaying them year over year, and hopefully in next 3 years, our entire loans will be finished. The major portion of it.
Okay. Okay. Thank you. I'll get back in the queue. I have a few more questions. I'll get back in the queue.
Thank you.
Thank you. Participants, to join the question queue, you may press star and one. I repeat, to join the question queue, you may press star and one. Next question is from the line of Rishabh Sharma from VT Capital. Please go ahead.
Hello. Thank you for the opportunity. So, sir, could you quantify the PAT impact of the deferred tax reversal in quarter four and help us understand the normalized earnings run rate going forward?
So if you want to understand the PAT, so in overall there is a impact of 23 crores for the deferred tax liability which we reverse. If we have opted for the existing income tax rates, we would have closed the PAT at 29 crores. And this is clearly given in the notes to accounts also, if you have gone through the same.
Okay, got it. And the revenue decline has been sharper than the industry expectations over the last few quarters. So are we losing market share in any categories? Or it is the weakness entirely demand driven?
Okay, so good that you observed that. I was expecting this question. So this revenue decrease is in two fronts. One is that we closed Chhata operations. So for the year, we had approximately 250 crore of revenue from Chhata spinning, so which has impacted this revenue degrowth. And second has been tough marketing environment, particularly because of U.S. tariff, which we have witnessed in quarter three. That impacted our major exports. So I think these are the two major causes which has impacted this revenue. And as I mentioned earlier, we focused more on the profitability than pure revenue. So wherever it made more sense for us, we worked on the operations in a way that we may have less volume, but it should be profitable revenue.
Okay. Got it. Sir, under RSWM 2.0, we are seeing that turnaround in the company's profitability. Can you share the current year KPIs or target under which this initiative, particularly around margins and the ROCE?
So, I'm happy that you want to know, you know, the current year targets and everything. I can share with you that we will continue to work in the similar fashion. And the outlook at this point of time is that current quarter is going to be slightly better or equivalent to last quarter. And our KPI remains EBITDA, revenue, and you know, positive cash flow. So working capital control, EBITDA enhancement, and revenue maintenance are the major key capex that we major three KPIs that entire organization is working on. Then you have each department have operational KPIs, but broadly as an organization, we are focused for sustainable growth.
So, sir, in the EBITDA, which factor would be the most positive step which will be giving the outcome positive?
So, there has been, you know, you improve where you lack. So we have been, you know, having a lot of challenge in our knitting business in the year 26. And with the new FTAs with UK and EU happening, so and this US tariff now being settled, this business of knit is likely to improve and a beta enhancement will happen from there. Secondly, as we discussed in last and call prior to that, that we are having 92 crores of expansion in our knitting business. We are adding printing as one of the segments, So as a result of this new capex, we may also add EBITDA in third and fourth quarter in our knitting business, accordingly.
Any capex plan in the future?
So currently we are not having any major capex. There are two things which are happening. One is this knitting expansion, which is under execution, and we are implementing that. Then we have certain modernization capex for all the plants where we want assets which are old that will be replaced. And these are the two major things we are doing in RSW.
Thank you, sir. Hope we are doing better results in the future. And thank you. Thank you very much.
Thank you so much for your wishes.
Thank you. Participants, to ask a question, you may press star and one. Ladies and gentlemen, anyone who wishes to ask a question may press star and one. Next question is from the line of Rohit Ori from Progressive Shares. Please go ahead.
Hi team, Rajivji, Nitinji, many congrats on this genuine operational turnaround that the company is showing. I hope it is not some cyclical optical recovery, but I think that all the efforts that you all are putting in since last two years or so, they tend to be showing fruits right now.
Thank you, Rohit.
So I have some questions. Very quickly, I'll go through them. The first one being that we see this good growth, but in terms of the recovery that is coming to, how much percent would you attribute to maybe product mix or maybe the discounting which you must be giving lower to the clients or customers? In addition to that, the energy optimization or inventory discipline, or is it because of the exit of some low margin businesses that you have? How much percent would you give to each of these entities?
Okay, so Rohit, first of all, thank you very much. And I will assure you that this is not a cyclical thing. The year under consideration has been really very tough for us as well as for entire textile industry. Whatever could have been uncertainties prevailing in the world have prevailed in this year as a whole. So the year was tough, and the turnaround which we are seeing is more because of internal operations than market-led. Now, coming to, what led to this turnaround, or what are basis of this recovery. So largely, as you mentioned, this is optimization of product mix. Now, we have five businesses, and each business, we try to optimize product mix, essentially reducing our volumes of the low-contributing products and enhancing or developing new products which give you comparatively better volumes. And then, optimally utilizing your value-added product lines wherever attachments or competencies are built, how to utilize them for better. And then trying to, focus on your working capital. If you look at, we saved around 12.5 CR of interest. So that more has been in terms of optimizing our working capital, both in debtors as well as in stocks. So the team has been trying to work on lower availability of stock and try to work more closely with the customers for the better collection. So everything has contributed in this recovery, and there is still a margin which we have to continuously keep on improving.
Rajivji, how much percentage would be the value-added products or value-added volumes, if you have that number handy with you?
So it will vary from business to business, but still we have a very less, products which are really value-added. Now, what happened is whatever the value-added products we developed in last 2-3 years, they turned into commodity very soon. Value-added is only till the time you are not, there with most of the spinners or most of the other products. you have to continuously keep on working. So as on today, we are not mapping this exactly the way you are saying, but I would accept that it is not high in numbers. It is less than maybe 1/5 of our sales.
Okay. My next question is, you did mention a bit about the customer addition or geographic additions in your opening remarks. But if you can take us through that, how many of these customer addition or deletions have happened, maybe in the domestic or the international market, and which are the global customers which have actually started procuring from us when we talk about UK FTA or maybe New Zealand FTA or the other FTAs that are coming through from Australia?
So these FTAs are yet to be reality. These are more in the terms of, you know, expectancy, and we will have a real implementation of this early next year or maybe towards the end of this year. Now, what we did was optimizing within our own markets and seeing that which market is comparatively better for products. So we vetted a couple of countries. For example, in Milan, we were exporting more to, say, Korea and Bangladesh. So we added two more markets of Europe and a few customers from Sri Lanka and, you know, the focus on developing the niche markets where the competition is more in the quality of the product rather than, you know, suppliers. So similarly, in denim, we try to work on few domestic as well as international brands. US, we added two more customers during this year. And within India, our volume to brand have increased over a period of, you know, time. Nomination business and, you know, this specialized cottons or fibers is another thing which we focus. So I think it is a combination of many things, not exactly, you know, only addition of markets. The paying markets or the rewarding markets or the rewarding customers have been something which we try to get.
Okay, that's encouraging. So you mentioned about this investment made in the knitting business, which is around 92 crores. So can you take us through that? What sort of asset turns or maybe the EBITDA margins that you expect from this business going forward, maybe in next 1.5-2 years or so?
Okay, fine. So Manoj Bansalji is with me. He is leading this project. I'll request Manoj to, you know, update this.
Yeah, hi. Currently, we have around 600 tons of net capacity, which we're taking to 900 tons. So one of the additions we're doing is printing. So out of 900, 120 tons should be knitting. So this actually adds a new product segment. With this 900 tons of expansion, probably our product mix will be, you know, better than what we are supplying today. That is number one.
Currently, the EBITDA, we are actually, you know, we intend to kind of implement the entire product in the third quarter of this year. So once this is in place, we are definitely, you know, expecting the EBITDA improvement by 3-4% in the current levels. So that is what our outlook is. And obviously, with this improved product mix, as Rajesh mentioned, we are targeting the number of new markets, both India and outside. So this will actually strengthen the entire business.
Okay. Okay. Sir, anything would you like to share on the Green Pet project? Anything on the CAPEX guidance or maybe that what is the threshold that you're targeting for this RPET?
Yeah, see, this B2B project is the total CAPEX is 427, which you already, you know, shared with the, you know, is on the public domain. So this project, we already started working. This project is coming in Ratnam, place for is an MP. So we intend to start the construction in the middle of May per se. Land is already acquired. Everything is there. We already got the consent to establish certificate from the government. So intended to start towards the middle of May, and we want to make it operational next year, the first financial, the first quarter of the financial year. That is the overall plan. And we are very, you know, exciting about this product, and machines, etc. have been finalized with this product. So that is about the B2B product. In case you have any specific question on B2B, I can give answer on that. But as of now, this is the plan on ground.
Okay. Okay. Rajiji, if the last question, if you can take us through that, how do you see India positioning against Bangladesh, Vietnam, or China? And what are the things that you look at maybe in the next 3 years or five years or so do you think that we can probably grow at maybe 15% CAGR growth for the next maybe 4 years or so?
So Government of India has worked out a very clear growth plan, and Ministry of Textile along with all other ministries including Ministry of Commerce and Finance Ministry is supporting. We are getting the required tools, and with the FTAs of UK and EU coming in, we will have an excellent opportunity as a country for textile industry to make an impact. Now, India has abundance of cotton. Government is also encouraging man-made fibers to create. Now, if you talk about Bangladesh and Vietnam, Bangladesh has a huge garmenting capacity. And India still is predominantly a spinner, which is catching up in downstreams like knitting, weaving, and processing. But in garmenting, we still have a major gap. So next 3 years, if you look at India as a country, has to focus more on creating more garmenting facilities and then try to see that we build on and we come up to this story of Indian government's target of going to 100 billion export from 39 of current and 250 billion in domestic from current of 147. So I think with all the things falling in place, whatever we missed in last 3-4 quarters, next 2-3 years are going to be good period for the Indian textile industry if geopolitical situations settle down.
And sir, in terms of RSWM maybe reaching to 6,200 or 6,500 crore kind of a top line in the next 3-4 years, do you think it is possible?
Yeah, it is possible. The way India is growing, RSWM will not miss out this opportunity. Only thing is, let's keep our fingers crossed, and we need the well-wishers like you.
Thank you, sir. Thank you for answering my question. Thanks a lot.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you. Ladies and gentlemen, in order to ensure that the management is able to address questions from all the participants in the question queue, please restrict yourself to 2 questions only. Should you have a follow-up question, please rejoin the queue. Next question is from the line of Nihar from Millennium Money Finance. Please proceed.
Hello. Thank you very much for the opportunity, sir. And congratulations on the wonderful recovery of the company. So, sir, I have 2 questions. As you stated that U.S. tariffs impacted the company, so would you say that the U.S. order book has fully recovered after the tariff settlement?
So, I will say that it is under recovery. Normally, the garmenting is a long cycle. Once you miss a cycle, sampling and the product orders are done to maybe the alternate countries, it takes time to come back to the supplier. And, wherever we stuck to those customers, offered discounts, so those volumes are coming back. But the product development which suffered during this period of 3 to 6 months, that is still impacting. And if everything goes well, I think another 2 quarters, things should be back to normalcy.
Okay, and the second question is that what percentage of total exports are from U.S. currently, and how much you think it will grow in the future?
So, if you talk about India, India has a good share of exports to U.S., particularly in the market, the products like home textile. Now, if you talk about RSWM, our direct sale to U.S. are limited. Most of the products that we supply are going to the garmenters or, if I talk about yarn, to the weavers and knitters, where in turn convert into garments and then they get exported. So our exposure to U.S. market is not direct. It is indirect, and we are impacted indirectly and also recovering indirectly.
Okay, sir. Got it. Thank you very much and all the very best.
Thank you. Thank you, Nihar. Thank you so much.
Thank you. Next question is from the line of Pramod from Interglobe Finance. Please go ahead.
Sir, I wanted to understand the power cost. In the standalone, I can see 495 crores, while in consolidated it is 484 crores. So first question is why the consolidated number is lower than the standalone number. in terms of power and fuel? And second is the investment of 60 crores in the renewable energy. What is the power cost reduction that we are looking at?
So, coming to your first question with respect to the power cost, like in our consolidated financials, we have another entity called BG Wind Private Limited. So, which is primarily for the wind energy. So, maybe because of that, the number is, you are finding the difference.
So,
and coming to the
energy, right?
Coming to the power cost impact, which you're talking about, so I would like Manojji to answer this question.
See, regarding this Adani Power, we are anticipating the impact of almost 1 rupee per unit in the overall reduction.
And how many units would that be? Can you help me translate that in terms of amount, sir, for the next year?
See, around we use currently around 14-15 lakh units per day, so the impact would be that much.
40-50 lakh units per day?
So this impact is varying from season to season. You know, this is solar and wind power. And the availability of wind and your power generation of solar is something which varies from season to season. So on an average, we are likely to get saving on between 3 to 5 lakh units per day, and that's all the saving.
So 40 to 50 lakh units per day, right?
No. What we are saying is because of this project, the impact will be almost 300 to 400 lakhs unit per day, and the impact is 1 rupee per unit. So you can anticipate probably we can see the 3 lakhs, around 3 to 4 lakhs impact per day. So monthly, if you see, it's almost a crore.
Okay.
Thank you.
Thank you. Next follow-up question is from the line of Ruben from Equity Intelligence. Please go ahead.
Hi. Yeah. So it was good to see, like, you're doing this capital raise, even though, you're just increasing your stake by 2.5%. I just wanted to understand that a little bit better, because earlier in the news it was saying that Bilwara was looking at investing 700 crores for this green pet plant. But now it seems to be largely done through RSW, and we are raising debt for it. So is there a possibility that, maybe the promoter would be infusing more equity in this project? Or could you just help me understand that? Or
so we could not get your question. Can you rephrase it in a way that we can...
So before it was like Bilwara was looking at investing 700 crores. That's what I read in the news, right?
Yeah, now I got it. You are talking about B2B project.
Yeah, so green
project. Earlier, as a group, it was being explored by our Bilwara Energy company. But originally, this project was envisaged by RSWM. And we were exploring this project, at location other than the current location, which is Ratlam. And then RSWM financials at that point of time. And overall, fitment within RSWM was taking time. That is why this deferment was there. But now, since we already are in fiber manufacturing, and we produce 130 metric tons of plaster fiber from recycled pet bottles every day, and we consume 60 lakh bottles per day. So management per se thought that it makes more synergy to have this project in RSWM. And in order to ensure that we do not open a big capacity right in the beginning, the project envisage originally was around 700 plus CR, and then we scale it down almost to 60-65%. And the current project, which our subsidiary in RSWM is taking, it's around 427
CR. So I'm trying to understand is, isn't it the worry that it's going to be majority through debt? Like 300 crores in the last call, that was what was mentioned. So
it is 70-30, yes.
So wouldn't it have been better to have raised funds and not use debt instead?
So, Nitin this side. So, just to answer your query, so the total project cost is 427 crores, out of which we have raised almost 70% of the amount by way of project financing. We have already got a loan approved for 300 crores. And rest of the portion is being introduced by a mix of equity and a loan from holding company. This is how the structure is for the entity.
Okay. Okay. And
so 300 crores.
Sorry to interrupt, Reuben.
127 crores.
Okay. Just one
sorry
last
to interrupt, Reuben. We'll take that as the last question for the day. Thank you.
Okay.
Ladies and gentlemen, that was the last question for the day. I now hand the conference over to the management for the closing comments.
Thank you. So, in closing, I extend my sincere gratitude to our employees, stakeholders, and partners for their unwavering support. With collective effort and a shared vision, we are well positioned to drive innovation, strengthen our market presence, and deliver sustainable value. The road ahead holds great promise, and I'm confident in our ability to grow and succeed in the years to come. Thanks.
Thank you, sir. On behalf of RSWM Limited, that concludes this conference. Thank you all for joining us, and you may now disconnect your lines.
Thank you.